Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Layla Kadir Yamini, and I want to welcome you to tonight's show on the health and wealth of natural community life. And as always, we're going to open with our opening prayer, Al-Fatiha, which is aptly called the opening in English. And this is always going to connect us with our Creator, asking for his guidance and his grace in whatever we do. So I will begin by saying the prayer in Arabic. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka nabru wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhin an'amta alayhim. Gairil maqdubi alayhim waladdaleen. Amin. And in English, with Allah's name or God's name, the most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to God, the cherisher and the sustainer of all the world, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and those who go not astray. Again, this is Layla Kadir Yamini. I'm your host for tonight. And this evening, the topic of our show is how to get your body grooving and keep it moving with our special guest, Hanifa Saleem, who I'll be introducing in a few moments. Now, I think this title is very appropriately describing where a lot of us are these days with exercise. Either we're trying to get a good program or a good routine started, or probably most importantly, we're struggling to keep one going after we get it started. Because if you're like me, I mean, can you reflect on the times when you may have been inspired to get a membership to a gym, only to let it go after a few good workouts, even though it's a two-year membership or maybe even a lifetime membership, and you keep paying on it and paying on it and paying on it, and you're just not motivated to go anymore? Or then a lot of times we're investing in exercise equipment. It's sitting around after, you know, we've used it for a few weeks or off and on for a few months, and it's just collecting dust. And then, of course, by this time of the year, even though we have started off the new year, most of us have, with very lofty resolutions for better health and fitness, by now, those are starting to wear a little bit thin and go by the wayside. So tonight, Hanifa is going to rev up our energies and fuel our inspiration to get our bodies moving and grooving. And when I say grooving, I'm talking about really getting into the flow with exercise, moving our bodies so that we feel comfortable moving our bodies, we feel great moving our bodies, and we feel it's something that we want to do on a regular basis. And some of the information she's going to share with us, she's going to tell us about the whole range of exercise types that are available to us nowadays so that you can choose which one you think would work best for you. She's also going to deal with those of you, or I'll say those of us even, because sometimes I'm like this, who really just the thought of exercising sometimes just leaves us cold, and we just don't know where to get started or where to get started again. And then she's going to show us how to get into an exercise routine that complements our busy schedule, and then also what we need to know in order for exercise to really accelerate moving the pounds that so many of us are trying to get off. And at the end, she'll be giving us a plethora of tips for maintaining exercise as a regular habit so we don't typically fall off after a few good workouts. But before I introduce Hanifa to all of you, I'd like to say a couple things. And these things are obvious, but I like to say them for emphasis and really just to reiterate where we've been on some of the previous shows. And I'll start off by saying this. There's a lot of sickness going around these days. Some of these sicknesses are full-blown diseases, chronic diseases, serious diseases like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, arthritis, asthma. But even if we're not in a situation where we're dealing with those types of challenges, so many times we really just don't have the energy and we just don't feel good the way that we would like to. But I want to remind you that if you keep giving your body what it needs to come into a healthy balance, because that's what the body wants. It wants to be in balance. Not that it's going to be in absolute balance at any given time, but it has to be able to have the necessary factors so that it can deal effectively with whatever is coming at it to confront it and that you're challenged with. So once we're able to give our body those factors and those essential elements that it needs to have that type of balance, we can basically kiss not feeling good, sickness, disease, goodbye. And that may seem like it's idealistic, like it'll never happen, but it is possible, and we have to keep that in mind, that it is possible, and with trust and faith in our Creator, Allah, God, we can do it, all right, with trust in Him and also a confidence and a focus and a determination within ourselves. And that's essentially what this show is about, those of you who have been keeping up, or maybe even those of you who are listening in for the first time tonight. Because what I try to do is bring knowledgeable health professionals who can help you identify and incorporate natural healing practices in your daily lives. So far we've talked about the importance of drinking pure water every day, ideally a half your weight in ounces, deep breathing to cleanse your body of toxins and release the tension and stress. Of course, also eating quality, whole, natural foods that grow from the earth that have not made any detours to factories where they're boxed, canned, or bagged. And then even the importance of getting a sound, deep, restful sleep every night, which a lot of healthcare professionals really don't throw that into the mix when they're talking to you about being healthy. But if you've listened to our shows the past couple of times, then you know through our, what I'll call our sleep expert now, that's part of our network, Bertram Brooks, he has assured us that getting a sound night's sleep on a daily, regular basis is going to make all the difference in the world with our health. Now, we're talking about, tonight we're going to talk about the importance of intentionally and consistently exerting our body, not just walking around or, sporadically running here and there during the course of the day while we're doing different errands or while we're on our job, but intentionally and consciously and consistently exerting our bodies and vigorously keeping it moving in some form or fashion pretty much on a daily basis. And if you're utilizing these five health factors, all right, that I'm talking about now, which is water, deep breathing, eating quality foods, exercising, and getting a deep, restful sleep, then you're going to witness changes in your health that you've really been longing for a long time. You're going to notice that you're going to have less aches and pain, maybe even no aches and pain, higher energy, clearer focus, more flexibility, better moods, and so on and so on. So I want you to pay close attention to what's being said tonight. In fact, what I suggest that you do, and this is going to allow you to incorporate all these things that I'm talking about right now, here in the moment, is that you pour yourself a full glass of fresh, clean water. Grab you a good, healthy snack. I would suggest getting something protein-based rather than something sugary. You can grab a handful of nuts or some yogurt, maybe a healthy cookie, and sweetened with honey, of course, or some natural sweetener. Take a few deep breaths, and then get a pen or pencil and get ready to jot down this really great information that's coming up that's going to get your body moving on a whole nother level than what you've been used to. And then, after the show, prepare to wind down for a restful, sound night's sleep. So if you get in the habit of doing these five things, five very basic things, very natural things that our Creator has so graciously provided to us in abundance, the ability to have access to these things because they're so natural, then you're on your way to really achieving a lifetime of improved health and happiness. Inshallah, that means God willing. Now I want to introduce Hanifa Saleem, who is a certified health and fitness professional out of Baltimore, Maryland. And Hanifa has been in the fitness and training field for over the past 10 years. She's very well versed in teaching aerobics, yoga Pilates, cardio kickboxing, belly dancing, and a host of other popular body conditioning exercises. She's also trained in classical ballet. I was very much impressed with that. She has produced several home exercise DVDs for people to begin training at home. And she's also a published freelance writer in the area of physical, mental, and spiritual fitness. So I want to welcome you to the show tonight, Hanifa. Thank you for agreeing to be here. And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Peace and blessings to you all.
Yes, thank you very much. And I want to say to our listening audience, for those of you who are calling in, if at any time that you want to make a comment or ask a question, you can simply press 1 and you'll be in the caller's queue, and then I can connect with you and have you on the open mic for you to express yourself. Now, you can do this anytime during the show. However, I'm going to suggest to allow Hanifa to really kind of get into her presentation of her information before asking questions so that you don't break her flow and so that you will not ask anything that was already going to be talked about necessarily. So just be patient, and particularly the last 15 or 20 minutes, I will open up the mic. Now, for those of you who may have connected through an internet link through our for the website, through Blog Talk Radio, the call-in number is 714-816-4673. But we're getting ready to get started. So, Hanifa.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right. I am so eager to talk about exercise, okay, because it one of my nemesis, as well as I'm sure a lot of other people. I do pretty good nowadays, but I know I can really amp it up some. So I'm waiting on you to give me that energy to do that. But the question I would like to start off with is there's so many choices nowadays in the different types of exercises that we can get into. Mm-hmm. And I know that you are familiar with and that you do instruction and training on a lot of these different types yourself, like Pilates, resistance training, cardiovascular, et cetera, et cetera. So while it's quite confusing for me to really kind of sort through all of those different types and probably to our listeners too, could you explain what some of these types of exercises are and just make it a little bit more basic for us to make distinctions between them?
Okay, certainly. Okay, I just want to clarify a few things that I am a certified personal trainer, and I'm also certified in cardio group fitness, yoga, and Pilates, and it's not actually ballet, but it's an exercise called balletone, and balletone is something like a Pilates, but I'm going to break down what each thing represents. But thank you anyway for that wonderful introduction.
Okay.
Different types of exercises. The most popular one everyone's familiar with is cardio. People say, I'm going to get my cardio on. Another term for that would be aerobics. Now, what that is steady rhythmic movement continuously, which causes the heart and the lungs to work harder. That's what the cardio does. Now, the strength training is done either with your own body weight, like push-ups, using abdominal muscles, lunges, things like that, or you can actually use weights. The next type of exercise is yoga. Now, yoga, Pilates, they're pretty much the same, except with yoga, you hold your poses longer. Now, what they focus on is strengthening and toning your core area, which is the midsection between the ribcage and the hip bone. It also works on balance and flexibility. and mental meditation. So all of those areas are covered within that yoga Pilates area. And Balatone, like I said, is like a standing Pilates. And Tai Chi, you can throw that in there also in that category. Now, stretching by itself is an exercise.
Okay.
What that does is improve your range of motion, because as we age, our muscles start tightening and the joints get tighter. So it's very important to stretch. And also it depends on your age, too. According to your age, if you're older, you definitely need to have a strength training program within your exercise routine. If you're over 40, you need to know that you're going to start losing muscle at the rate of 8% every 10 years. That's basically for women. Men usually start after 60. However, you don't even have to worry, because you can rebuild all that muscle by incorporating a strength training program.
Okay, that's good news.
Kadira, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what I said. It depends on your age, too, and it's very easy to incorporate a strength training program. All you really need to do is work out approximately 3 times a week. For about 30 to 40 minutes, spending about 5 minutes on each muscle. And you probably want to get with a good personal trainer to show you how to properly use those weights and build that muscle back. And I would say in about three months, you should notice a big difference in your muscular system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as far as the strength training. Okay?
Okay?
So those are the types of exercises.
Okay. Now, and you may have already answered this, but let me just say this, or ask for emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
When we're just starting out trying to figure out an exercise program for ourselves, and we don't necessarily have a lot of time, what is the most essential exercise to start off with? What type of exercise would you think, would you say that that's going to condition us the most?
Okay. I would say the cardio, because that's so important for your heart and lungs, just to maintain healthy heart and lungs. So if you can't do anything at all, which you should be able to do something, I do recommend you try to get it in the morning. And that's because if you get it in the morning, nice and early, you have the rest of the day to take care of your business. If you wait until it's too late, you'll probably be too tired, too many interference, too many mental stresses going on, and you probably won't even feel like working out. So
right.
The best time
so
I would recommend would be in the a.m.
Okay, all right. Now, you know, there's people that just don't like to exercise.
Okay.
I know you know that.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
And I think they kind of reinforce that by saying, okay, well, I really don't have the time to do it, and from what I've heard, okay, you have to exercise at least, I think what I've heard personally, you need to exercise, 3 to 4 times a week, at least 30 to 45 minutes. So does that mean that if you don't have that much time to put into exercise, that you might as well not even do it?
Absolutely not. Not correct.
Okay.
Let me just say this. Okay, for an adult, the minimum that is required or recommended is 30 minutes a day, 5 times a week. That's the minimum. Now, the way you can do this, if you don't have time, you can break that up into 2 15-minute workouts. If you're working 15-minute breaks, you can take a walk for 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, or your lunch break, however you would like to do that. So there's really no excuse. Even if you don't have 15 minutes, you can break it up into 3 10-minute segments. As long as you get it in during that day, that still counts as 30 minutes for that day.
Okay, okay. Now, I have heard, because I'm not that familiar with how to calculate this, but it's important, to be aware of your resting heart rate. And then of your peak heart rate during the course of your workout. So I'm taking that to mean that you should be able to work vigorously enough in order to get your heart up to a heart rate up to a certain level. Could you tell us what that level is? Is that even important every time we work out? And just kind of demystify that for us.
Sure, sure. You mentioned resting heart rate. Actually, resting heart rate is your heart rate like when you first wake up in the morning. Say 5 minutes after you wake up, you check the pulse and you count. That's your resting heart rate. or if you're just sitting there resting for at least 10 minutes, that's your resting heart rate. The rate that you are at when you're not exercising or doing anything, that doesn't matter when you're working out. You don't have to calculate that, the resting heart rate. It's mm-hmm. a target heart rate that you want to work towards. Now, the target heart rate is the zone where you're burning fat. And generally, for a healthy person, you want to work within 65 to 85% of your maximum heart rate. And I'm going to explain what that is. There's a little formula that you can perform to figure out what your target heart rate is. You take the number 220, subtract your age. I'm going to say a 20-year-old just for an example when I'm saying this. 220 is for everybody you start off with. Subtract your age, 20-year-old, and we're mm-hmm. left with 20. I mean, not 20, excuse me, 200.
200, right, okay.
Right, 200 will be considered your maximum heart rate. You don't want to work at your maximum heart rate. You want to work at 65 to 85% of that maximum. So from that 200 number, you calculate how much 65% of that would be, okay, and that's how many beats per minute you want to be working at. Now, for this particular example, it would come to 130 beats per minute.
Okay.
But now you're not going to stand there and check your pulse for a whole minute. You only want to do it for 10 seconds.
Okay.
So you take that 130 and divide it by 6, and you have 22. That's a 10-second count. So that would be your target heart rate at the low end, and you do the same thing for the high end of 85%.
Okay. So what you're saying is that kind of like in the middle of the workout, you may stop for 10 seconds, and then mm-hmm. you're going to have this calculation already done before you start, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You'll know.
Right, okay. So
like
you're going to take
your
pulse.
You're looking for, go ahead.
Right. So you're going to take your pulse for 10 seconds and mm-hmm. see whether it's that that resulting number that you just gave. Like if it's a 20-year-old, it would be 22 beats
during
those 10 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to look at, but you also have to go by how you feel, too, no matter what the beats are telling you. You know, you have to watch out for, like, lightheadedness, if you're feeling nauseous, you know, or cramps, anything. It doesn't feel right, headache, you need to stop and slow down because you may have a medical condition.
Right. Well, you know something, I find it kind of annoying sometimes that before getting in an exercise class or mm-hmm. even exercising along with a DVD at home that, you know, there's somebody that will say either verbally if you're in the class or it will flash on the TV screen or a DVD that you should check mm-hmm. with your doctor before mm-hmm. you start the program. All right, I don't know why it's mm-hmm. just annoying to me.
mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, if somebody has a health condition like a mm-hmm. heart condition or whatever
mm-hmm.
that may be hampered by them having a vigorous exercise program, I can understand
mm-hmm.
that. But just
mm-hmm.
in general, because
mm-hmm.
I want you to clear this up for me. I mean, you straighten me out now.
Okay.
Is this needless advice, like I'm kind of thinking, or is it really best to do that, to have kind of an overall checkout before you start, particularly if you feel like you're going to keep up a vigorous program? Is it better to check with the doctor, do you think?
It is highly recommended if you're going to start off just beginning a vigorous
mm-hmm.
exercise program that you at least check with your doctor and get the okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying you have to go and have a complete physical, but at least check with your doctor because you haven't been working out for a long time and you're about to begin a vigorous exercise program. You
mm-hmm.
should check with your doctor because we're so eager to get this weight off, you know, and
right.
we jump in and we do all this excessive exercise and you may not be up to it physically. So you really
mm-hmm.
should check with your doctor if that's your particular case.
Okay. Yeah.
It's good
advice. And I guess when I think about it, I mean, it's kind of scary, but every now and then you'll hear of somebody that has been working out. Sometimes it's even a kid, like a teenager, that has been working out, and maybe an athlete
mm-hmm.
doing a prep for a game or something. And
mm-hmm.
then you hear that they just dropped dead, and they were perfectly fine. but nobody knew that they had a heart arrhythmia or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it is best to yeah, I see that. I see the rationale on that. Mm-hmm. So I hope listening audience, you're taking heed. our fitness professional has told us, go to the doctor, get a check out before you really make a commitment and get heavily engaged in a vigorous program.
Right.
Okay.
And most physicians are recommending
yeah.
people to work out. You know, most of them are telling their clients to go work out. So they're mm-hmm. fine, those people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Let me ask you something. Now, let's say haven't done any exercise for quite a while, just beginning a new exercise, and after that first day, I am just so busted from
mm-hmm.
achy joints, sore muscles.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I'm crawling out of bed, and I just
mm-hmm.
do not want to be bothered with
mm-hmm.
trying to exercise that day. Is it best to go ahead and no matter how I feel, just to get into it again and tell myself no pain, no gain, or is that an indication that maybe I've done too much and I need to rest a little bit?
Okay, good question. No pain, no gain, I say not true to that.
It's not true,
Not true. No pain, no gain is not true. You want to be aware of the signs of your body. Aches and pains
mm-hmm.
could be a sign that you either worked out improperly or you
mm-hmm.
overworked yourself after not having worked out for a long time. What you should do is start off slowly with some warm-up exercises. Warm-up like walking around the room or just walking in place for about 3 minutes. And then do some stretching without bouncing. No bouncing when you stretch. Just some nice, smooth stretching to get the
mm-hmm.
body warmed up and get it prepared for the vigorous workout. Then start the workout and try not to overdo it on the first time if you've been out of it for a while. Just do the 30 minutes. And then as that gets easier, then increase the amount of time. And you may want to do every other day as opposed to every day until your body gets used to it.
Okay. Good advice.
Yes.
Good advice.
I do want to say, especially with strength training, you definitely want to give it a break in between. You don't want to work strength training 2 days back to back.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you're mentioning stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you recommend always to do as a warm-up? And even I know some exercise routines recommend or incorporate stretching as a cool-down exercise towards the end before you complete the exercise for the day.
Yes.
So how important do you think stretching is?
Stretching is very important. Now, I do recommend it before and after, personally. But if you're short for time and you only stretch once, I say do it after, at the end of your exercise routine. Because your muscles have contracted, your muscles are tight, and you need to elongate them.
Okay.
So it's most important to stretch afterwards, and that would prevent the tightness, the soreness, and the pain that you're feeling that next day.
Okay. All right. Okay. And let me see. You were saying the best time to exercise, you said, is in the morning, right?
Yes. That's what I recommend, in the morning. And your body is still burning calories through the day after you get that workout. It gives you energy. It jump starts your day. That's ideal, but we can't all do it in the morning.
Yeah.
So that's why I say the other alternative, if you're at work, take your break, do some exercises on your break. Do it when you can do it, but just try not to do it too close to bedtime because it may interfere with your rest.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what our sleep expert told us on the last show, is that it can actually stimulate us if we do it too close to our bedtime.
Yes.
Definitely don't want to do that. Yeah.
Unless it's yoga, of course, because you fall into a nice meditation and you sleep really well after yoga.
Okay. Oh, one other thing I wanted to ask you about working out in general is it good to sweat a lot? And I know everybody's different, all right? When it comes to the sweat factor, some people sweat profusely just, when they're just in almost any situation, and then other people
I hardly bust a sweat at all. I'm kind of like that. I don't sweat easily. So, but when you're working out, all right, and you're vigorously working out, because I know sweat is a way of toxins being released, all right, they're coming through your pores, and it seems like the more you sweat, the better you're going to feel and the more cleansing effect the exercise has had. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I absolutely agree with what you said, but I just want to add to that, that sweating actually is your body's way of cooling itself down when you're working out and exercising. So if you're exercising and you're sweating, no matter how much sweat you're sweating, that's a good thing. It's a good sign. Mm-hmm. Unless you have, in addition to that sweating, you have chest pains and headaches, I have to always remind you, if it's accompanied by some other signs, lightheadedness, swelling of joints, and other things like that, then that's not a good thing. You need to definitely check with your doctor. But a normal, healthy person who's sweating profusely, that's a good thing. And if you're not sweating as much, that's not a bad thing. You could possibly have less sweat glands as the other person, or you could possibly not be working out hard enough. Your body may be able to push it a little harder.
Okay.
Or you could be dehydrated. Maybe you're not drinking enough water if you're not sweating. But sweating is a good thing. It's absolutely, it's an essential part of the human function body.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to take that as a sign to challenge myself to push a little harder and see when I start sweating more.
Right. I mean, like I said, some people may have less sweat glands, you know?
Right.
So
well,
it's different factors,
Yeah, well, this will be an experiment with myself to find out which one it is.
Yes, push yourself a little harder, and guess what? You need to check your target heart rate while you're doing that.
Yes, I will definitely do that.
Yes.
Okay, Hanifa, this is great. Let's talk about, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to know about this, all right, exercise and weight loss. Because most people are thinking that exercise immediately is going to, I mean, if you do it long enough, you are going to start losing weight. So I think that's something that's pretty common sense that is going to happen, right?
Well, not necessarily.
You
could be working out hard every day, but eating like I don't know what and eating the wrong foods. That weight's not going to go too far. You can possibly maintain your weight that way. You can eat, you know, all these bad things and then work out and not gain by all this exercise, which is, that's helpful in itself. You're not gaining any weight. But if you want to lose, you're going to also have to eat healthy, drink plenty of water, and do your exercise, because you have to exercise sensibly, too. You have to have a balanced exercise program. Not jump out here and do 3 hours one day, you know, and then you're falling apart for the rest of the week. You have to do something that can be sustained.
Well, I really love hearing you say that, because as a health coach, I focus on nutrition and other holistic factors with clients. But I get very disturbed when every now and then I hear someone say, all I've got to do is just exercise. I don't have to worry about the diet. And then it seems like they're kind of using exercise, they're kind of making a game out of it, like they will eat as much bad food as they want, and they say, okay, well, I'm headed to the gym to work out. I'll work it off. And that's just their lifestyle. That's how they approach what they feel as being healthy, which to them, it means as long as they can stay a certain weight or even maybe lose a few pounds, they're okay. But they're damaging themselves a lot by or into
deluding
themselves to think that that exercise itself is going to be like a panacea for whatever challenges that they have with weight, and that's all that they need. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Sure. Even if you flip that around and the person who's on this healthy diet and never doing any exercise, they could be in danger also.
This person,
for example, a thin person who's, you know, keeping their weight down by the food that they eat, but they're not exercising, they're in danger of gaining body fat that you can't see internally. Because they're not exercising, the body has hidden fat inside of the body. They're not burning off that fat because they're not exercising. Even though they're eating healthy and just, you know, not doing anything and sitting around all day. They can be thin and they feel good. You know, I look good. I like the way I look because I'm not eating. But you still have to do the exercise for your heart and your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Your cholesterol, you may go to the doctor and get checked out and find out you got high cholesterol even though you're thin, you know, and come up with diabetes and all these other things. You're wondering, I'm thin, how come I got all these problems? So you need that balance. You need to do both. Exercise, eat healthy, get your rest, and drink plenty of water.
Yes, thanks.
you can't go from one extreme to the other. That's not.
Yeah.
And for your belly fat, which a lot of people are concerned about belly fat,
mm-hmm.
They think if they drop on the floor and do 1,000 crunches, it's going to get rid of that belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true, because just like what I just said, you're going to have to incorporate cardio exercise along with the crunches that you're doing and a healthy diet and the same thing we just talked about. Because you can do all the crunches in the world, but if you're eating poorly, you won't see that nice formed ab. It'll be underneath the fat, because the fat will be over top of it. It's not going to go anywhere without the cardio and the healthy eating.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me this, too, or tell us, me and the listening audience, why is it a lot of times that we'll lose weight at first and sometimes pretty rapidly once we when we start our exercise program, and then at some point it'll just level off, and it just seems like no matter what we do, our weight is not budging. Does that mean that we need to do more? Does it mean that we need to change up and do a different type of exercise? What do we need to do in that case?
Okay. Now, of course, everyone's situation is different. You have to know what that person is doing throughout the course of their day. But generally speaking, once you start an exercise program, it's possible that you will gain a couple of pounds because your muscles are getting thicker and stronger. So that's going to weigh more on the scale. So don't be surprised if you pick up a few pounds. Then when you start losing this weight and then all of a sudden, okay, I'm just staying here at the same level, your body has kind of adjusted to this routine of exercise. So what you do need to do is probably check your exercise routine and change it up a little bit. Changing it up by maybe doing different types of exercises or increasing the cardio exercise. Like I said, it depends on what that person's doing. But I would be more concerned with the body fat as opposed to what the scale is saying. Okay, because the body fat is more critical to your health than that weight on that scale. Your body fat may be going down, even though that weight is not going down. And that's a good
thing. Now, when you talk about body fat, are you talking about the BMI, body mass index?
Okay, now, that's different. Body mass index. Okay, since you mentioned body mass index, that's one tool that you can use to measure body fat. That's what body mass index is. Just one tool. And it takes a person's height and their weight. And it's listed on the chart. You can just kind of just go across the chart if you know your weight. Say you're, it doesn't have anything to do with your age. You're 5 feet. And you weigh 128 pounds. I happen to be looking at a chart right now. So what you do, I'm looking at this chart, and it says, okay, I'm 5 feet, I'm 128 pounds, my body mass index is 25, okay? Now, it breaks down what that 25 means. There's another chart that says 25 means you're at the beginning of being overweight. And this is for male or female, it doesn't matter. This is just one tool. That's why I keep telling you it's one tool. Because you can't use this for bodybuilders. You know, bodybuilders have big, thick muscles, and they're gonna weigh on that scale. But they're not going to be fat. That's going to be muscle. So we can't even use body mass index to measure their body fat.
Okay.
That's just one type of tool. Now, when I said body fat, I was speaking really about the body fat that's within your body. There are tools that you can actually measure the body fat inside your body. But if you use the body mass index, and you come up with overweight, then you take a tape measure and measure your waist, and find that your waist exceeds, let's say for a woman, it's past 30, it's larger than 30, then you have excess body fat that you need to start working on. If it's past 35 inches, then you're putting yourself at a high risk for health disease because your body fat is exceeding the recommended amount. For a man, if he's allowed a little more, his is 40 and above, he's in danger. You should try to keep it at 35 and below, that waist size I'm talking about. The waist size and your body mass index are two tools that you can use to measure your body fat.
Okay.
So what I said to you was when we were talking about flat toe, when, just because your body weighs a certain level, don't think that that's a bad thing. You may just gain in more muscle. You know, each individual is different, so if they go to a personal trainer, they're going to give you a personal fitness assessment
mm-hmm.
and tell you what's going on with your body and what you need to do to change, mm-hmm. if you need to change. Now, also, if your weight starts, you know, just leveling off, you may want to look at your diet and see if you change up and start eating more bad foods, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you've been working out so much, and now you're feeling good, you lost some weight. So
right.
now, okay, reward time. Let me get some chips. Let me get this. Let me get that. So you may want to document and write a diary of what you're eating also.
Mm.
You could be causing that plateau.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get back to this belly fat and
okay.
Fat reduction. Now,
mm-hmm.
of course, you know, what I'm getting is that you said that exercise and, of course, diet goes hand in hand and making sure
mm-hmm.
that happens effectively. But what specific exercises can you,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's probably difficult to really describe this just in a conversation maybe rather than show us, but
mm-hmm.
what specific exercises would you recommend for reducing abdominal fat?
For your abdominal
crunches,
fat?
Yes, crunches itself
okay.
is not going to get it, right? I mean, is that the best exercise that can be done, are crunches along with a healthy diet? Or is there some other type of exercise that we can do that's more effective than crunches?
There are exercises that actually target the core area. Like, for
mm-hmm.
example, yoga and Pilates, they target the core area. So if you're into that type of workout,
mm-hmm.
you will get a workout which it exercises the upper, the middle, the lower part of the abs, the obliques, which is the side, your waistline, and it works the back of your core. The whole core area between the rib cage and the hip bone will be
okay.
exercised and targeted. So those are excellent exercises for
mm.
the midsection. Now, like I said, you do want to rule out the fact that maybe you have irritable bowel syndrome or
mm-hmm.
digestive diseases, lactose intolerance, chronic bloating, stress.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things can cause your belly to inflate.
Mm-hmm.
So you do want to look into those things also.
Okay. Okay. So I'm not quite understanding what you're saying. If we have any of those digestive disorders, then what does that mean in relation to exercise?
That means that you need to see a doctor because those exercises and all this advice I'm giving you is tough. It's not going to help you until you resolve your medical problem.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, those are some medical reasons that may be causing your belly to inflate.
Right.
And if it's stress, you try to remove the stress from your life. If you have chronic bloating, lactose intolerance, you have to change your diet.
Uh-huh.
But irritable bowel syndrome, all of those things are medical reasons for a bloated belly.
But now, Hanifa, doesn't exercise mm-hmm. help to reduce stress?
It does. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you allow it.
Okay.
That's, you know, the person that just hates to work out, that's going to cause them more stress.
Well, that's true.
Working out itself. If they're going in there with a mind state, they got to get their mind right, too. You know?
Right.
It's net mental, physical, spiritual, all of that's connected.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you get a good workout, it should feel like a nice relief, you know. And you should feel like I want more and not like I don't want to come back. And
mm-hmm.
the thing I recommend for those who really hate exercising, just find mm-hmm. something that you enjoy doing, like dancing.
Yeah.
Turn
yeah.
on some music and just dance for like an hour or so, you know. And that's a good cardio workout.
Yes.
Riding a bike, swimming.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, find some fun sports, playing tennis, basketball.
Mm. Yeah.
And if it's something that you enjoy, you will tend to continue with it, you know, and just put it on your schedule. You're going to do it so many times a week.
Right. Now, would you say, because those are pretty much, they're just normal activities, the way people used to
mm-hmm.
live before everybody got
mm-hmm.
plugged into
right.
all of this virtual stuff, right?
Yes,
so,
yes, ma'am.
Do you think it's just as valuable to do just high active activities like that, or do we need structured routines too? Does it make a difference?
It makes a difference if you're not going to be consistent. with the fun type of activities. It has to be consistent, and it has to be continuous. So say, for example, you're dancing. If you dance 5 minutes and then that's it, that's not going to be very helpful. So you want a program. So if you're doing these things that you enjoy, do it, sure, but put it on your program, just like an exercise program. I ride my bike for an hour every day. I dance for an hour every day. You know, actually put it down like it's an exercise for you.
Yeah.
But don't stop moving. You know, keep doing those things, even though you don't consider it regular or consistent. You know, still do it. That helps.
Yeah. I guess sometimes just getting out and playing with your kids or your grandchildren and playing different games and hide and go seek. Just having a good time. Yeah, that's
a good thing. Living. That's definitely living. A good thing. Yeah.
You know something, I'm just now, I think I'm so behind the times when it comes to media now, because my husband and I, which I don't regret at all, but we are truly unplugged, except for the internet. We do rely on the internet quite a bit for our business, but we don't have TV at home. We don't have electronic devices and things like that. But I know that there's a place for those things. And just recently, someone was telling me, someone in my age range, all right, over 50, was talking about their Wii, this electronic Wii, where I've heard so many kids talk about it, I've just kind of dismissed it as some kind of real fancy video game set, all right? But they were telling me how they get a really good workout with virtual games that are on the Wii. So what do you have to say about that type of activity?
I say if you enjoy it, go for it.
Okay.
Absolutely. You can get a good workout doing those. And just you know, just make sure you're not going to injure yourself. Like you say, the over 50 category, I don't know if they want to do that. Cause you have to be careful of your joints. You don't want to twist your knee or your ankle or anything doing those type of activities.
Right.
But
right.
By all means, you know, if it's something you enjoy and it's movement, do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, there's so many choices now. There's really no excuse just to be a couch potato, just to sit around and be content not to do anything. It doesn't make sense. It really does.
It does not. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well,
but, I was going to say, some people just need a little push, you know.
Well, I think you're pushing us, Tanisa, in a very good way, just with the excellent information that you're giving us, and there's a lot of inspiration in that. I do want to encourage any of our listeners, if you have any questions at this point, please call in. Again, the call-in number is 714-816-4673. And for any of those of you who have already called in, all you have to do is press the number 1 on the dial, and you'll be put in the caller's queue, and I can open up the mic, and we can connect, all right? And I can connect you with Hanifa, and you can ask her whatever, and hopefully...
Related to exercise, not whatever.
Yes, related to exercise. Okay, we have a caller that's called in now. Wait just a minute.
Okay.
Yes, hi. Caller on 678.
Hi. I'm from Atlanta, and I'm calling about the exercise program you were speaking on. Wanted to find out, I know, you know, if you're physically overweight or you have, you know, other medical issues, that would probably, you know, be a problem with starting a workout program, especially if you want to get into something physical immediately, have, you know, you're overweight or you may have heart condition or whatever. But what about people that are under a lot of stress and they're on deadlines that they have to have, and you know, everything, they're really mentally stressed, so it stresses the whole body. Would you consider a person like that actually seeing a doctor or maybe even a psychiatrist or a mental health counselor before they actually get into a vigorous workout?
Well, if they're physically fit and nothing's preventing them from physically exercising, I would say go ahead and start exercising and follow up with your physician. You know, if it's a serious mental condition, you could start walking, which is very harmless. I mean, it's low impact. take a 30-minute walk a day, you probably will feel so much better. It may help with the stress. You know, I don't know how severe the stress is or the mental disorder is, but I would say go ahead and start walking at least.
Okay.
Thank
you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, wait 1 second. Okay, honey, that just made me think of something. I was at a health spa day yesterday, very lovely event, and I was doing many coaching consultations there, like 5 minutes, just talking with sisters, women about what they need to do to get started doing something healthier in their lives. And a couple of the people were concerned about getting more exercise. Now, this one woman that I talked about said that she had problems. She's diabetic, and she has a lot of problems with leg cramping. So she can't. She doesn't see herself as being able to do any, I guess, typical exercises that's going to involve anything using her legs.
Okay.
I think I saw somewhere that, do you do chair-size?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead, ask your question.
No, what I was saying is, what could you recommend to her or other people who are impaired in some way where they don't have the use of their legs, but they can do something to work out?
Right, certainly. Okay, I just want to say yes. I believe everyone who's breathing can do some type of exercise. And the type of exercise you can do is going to be according to your ability. I actually do seated exercises. I do different levels of seated exercises. I do like yoga from a chair. And then I do seated exercises for special needs, for people who can, like you say, barely move their joints. And I start working with them moving from their toes, the ankles, on up. I have their legs up on a footrest, and we work all the way up their body, and then we practice breathing and relaxation. Now, breathing in itself is an exercise.
That's why
I said anyone who can breathe, they can do some form of exercise. And as you breathe, you include some movement with the breathing. Whatever part of your body you can move, you move that part of your body. But again, I would recommend you get with a person who's certified, like myself. I do have exercise DVDs, but I would personally would want to meet with that particular person who's unable to do any, you know, regular exercises.
Okay. Now, Hanifa, you may want to take out some time now just to let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you, particularly those who live in, because you're in Baltimore, right?
Well, this is my primary location here.
Okay.
Where do you hold classes? I actually travel around. I do classes in different areas, anywhere between Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I do weekend workshops across the United States. So I'm mobile. If you're going to have a workshop or something, I can come and I can introduce you to my program, you know, anywhere actually in the United States. And I do online personal training also, where we can communicate online and I can kind of guide you through a fitness program that way also. Now, my website is... My website is fitnesslifepro.com, and my email is the same email, fitnesslifepro@yahoo.com.
Okay, you're saying Fitness Life Pro?
Yeah, Fitness, F-I-T-N-E-S-S, Life as in live, L-I-F-E, Pro, P-R-O, .com, and the same email address, it's at yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. And if anyone, could you tell us about some of the DVDs that you have for sale?
Okay,
what
I have DVDs. Yes, I have DVDs for all levels, beginners, intermediate, and advanced. Cardio, like a dancing workout, which is fun. I have strength training. I have yoga, mix of yoga and Pilates. And like I said, I have these exercises in different levels. I start off with the beginners, the intermediate, and then advanced levels of all of those types of exercises. And I also have seated exercises on my DVDs.
Okay. And these DVDs are available for purchase on your website?
Yes, they are.
Okay, right. Now, that's very interesting when you said that you can do, I think you said virtual classes online or virtual training online with individuals. Is that through Skype? I mean, is that visual or is that
My online personal training, first I would have to do a fitness assessment and I can get the information from the person one-on-one. I'm not going to get into too much detail on the radio show right now, but that's the way we start. And
mm-hmm.
everyone, of course, they don't have the access to a webcam and all of that. So I have other ways of working with the person.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're interested, they could go online. I have a free quick fitness assessment you can take. There's
okay.
a form on my first page of my website. You fill in your data, and I'll get back with you with some information, an assessment, a quick assessment on you.
Okay, great. Well, that sounds so wonderful. I don't know if anybody else has any other questions. I think I do see the same call. I'm not sure whether that's from before. Let me see if there's another question here. Wait 1 second.
Oh, this is the same call.
Yes.
Yes.
You have another question?
I did want to ask about the workouts. I was trying to get something clear on the she mentioned about for disability or disabled people that may have some issues in working out. Would they start out with like a low impact, or could they start out, you know, if they were kind of physically able to do some physical workout, would they start out low impact, or would they, you know, jump right in as a, you know, your normal healthy person?
Oh, no. You definitely don't want to just jump right in. You want to take it slow, and you could actually start with the seated exercises, you know, to test your body out. And they're exercises that work your entire body, only you're doing it from a chair. You could start off at that low level, and then once you're able to stand and do the exercises, you want to start off slow with that also.
Okay. Yeah, I just was asking because there are some abilities that I can do, some other exercises that I know I will not be able to do, and I didn't want to do it improperly, and just want to make sure that I had the right understanding.
Absolutely. You want
to program.
Yes, you want to definitely take it slow. You probably don't want to use weights when you're first starting off. You want to do exercises without weights.
Really?
And yeah, when you start off with no weights. And then as you get familiar with the form and it becomes easier, then you can add some light hand weights.
Okay.
And you gradually work your way up.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because I'm into weights. I like to do the weight things. And so I was getting ready to kind of purchase me a couple of them so that I can see do that. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, well, if you have weights, make sure you have someone show you how to properly use those weights.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. You don't want to just buy weights and start throwing them around. You could injure yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Thank you. All right. Have a good evening. Okay, Hanifa, I guess we're going to kind of wind up here. But before we close out, I'd like to know, do you have any parting words of advice, motivation that you want to share with us? Particularly,
yes, I do.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yes.
No, I was going to say, just particularly for us to, again, get this exercise groove, just keep it going, you know, keep it moving so we're not so apt to shut down after we try it out for a while and give up.
Right. Okay.
What is, and when we don't feel like it, you know, what is it that you can say to us that we can remember and say to ourselves that'll just get us up and going again?
Okay. Let me just try to include everybody who's listening, all types of people, everyone, men, women, children, overweight, underweight, normal weight, with a handicap. We all need to maintain a balanced life of healthy eating and regular, sensible exercise. Try to include cardio, which we know is the fast-paced movement which gets your heart and lungs working, dancing, fun things, riding bikes, swimming like we spoke about. Just find some sport that you like. If you like to walk, walk. Just that would help to maintain those healthy heart and lungs. Also, when you get into strength training, You can use your own body for strength training. You can do push-ups. That works your upper body. You can do lunges for your lower body. And that will help to improve your range of motion. It helps to increase your muscle strength.
Okay.
And your joints and your connective tissue.
Uh-huh.
Now, also, it will improve the ratio of your body fat to your muscle, the mass and muscle. You know, it improves that ratio between fat and lean muscle.
Okay.
So what I want to recommend, even if you're older, do not discourage. I don't care if you're 95 years old, you can do some type of exercise. So, as a matter of fact, my father is 94 years old.
Oh.
And he does one of my DVDs.
Okay.
he does one of the seated exercises, and I told him this one is a little bit too easy for him because he was doing it too easily.
Uh-huh.
But he's always been active. He's maintained, you know, an active life, and that's the main thing. You want to keep moving, keep busy, even if you're walking up and down the steps, you know, like you said, playing with the grandchildren in the garden. You want to keep that body moving. Just don't listen to that little voice that's telling you to slow down, and let your cells die.
Right.
So when you don't exercise, that's what happens. Your cells start dying day after day after day.
Yes,
I want to encourage you to just stay active and keep it moving.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll have to have you back on again in the future. And
okay, God
I'm
willing.
Sure, yes, God willing. I'm sure our listening audience has gotten a lot from what has been said tonight. So, again, can you just give everybody your website and your email address?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's Fitness Life Pro is the name of my company. My name is Hanifa Saleem. Website is fitnesslifepro.com. And the email is fitnesslifepro@yahoo.com. So that's pretty easy to remember.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yes. So all the information is on there, the phone number, the address, and how you can purchase the DVDs, how you can get my online personal training services, and how you can get a free fitness assessment.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yes.
Everybody perks up at free, don't they?
we don't
want to pass that up.
Right.
You know what? There are two questions that have just popped up, so let's take those questions. Hold on for a second.
Okay.
Good evening, caller on 267.
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. I just wanted to greet my
sister.
It's Agina Shabazz. So
sister, I think we can't hear you. You're cutting out.
She's turning with Shabazz? I heard that part.
Right. I think it may be somebody that you know.
I'm not sure.
Agina Shabazz.
Oh, Agina. Yes, okay.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Yes, ma'am.
Very helpful.
I'm good to hear you. Oh,
helpful.
Thank you,
Grant. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Hanifa.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, you're quite welcome. And it's so good to hear from you.
And I'm going to start tomorrow.
Oh, well, can I say alhamdulillah?
Yes. Ten minutes.
All praises
to 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes.
10 minutes. There you go.
Start with
10 minutes. And if you can do that 3 times a day, that'd be good.
Okay. All right.
Every little bit counts.
Yes. Okay, you ladies have a good night.
Oh,
okay.
You do too.
Okay.
All right.
Assalamualaikum. Okay, here's another caller here. Yes, caller on 404-503.
Yes, I just want to thank your guest for this very valuable information that she's sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes. Well, my question is this. I worked some time in the public school system, and what you see is that what used to be a very vigorous physical education program in the public school due, I think, to budgetary cuts have been cut down to little or nothing.
Yeah.
And that's also an area where you see a lot of indications of challenges with diet and obesity and and precursors to some chronic diseases. So my question is, did you work with young people? Do you do any work with school systems, or do you see opportunities to do school work with those systems in your general service?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Oh, yes. Thank you so much for that question and your concern, because, yes, childhood obesity is a crisis in America. And, yes, I do work with children. As a matter of fact, they had a program at the L.A. Fitness. It was for children. They were experimenting with having a children's fitness program. And we ran that for a short time. And for some reason, it didn't take off. But, yes, I am open for business in that area, too. And I do work with all age groups.
Okay.
And we have a program called Family Fun Fitness, where it's the entire family working out together. The youth, along with the parents, you know, and the siblings. And I break it down into different sections on types of exercise. And it's really fun, the Family Fun Fitness program. So I do travel, like I said, across the United States. And I bring a program. I introduce the program to the center or whoever's interested to get them started, to jumpstart them. And what I do, I follow up with a reassessment to see how the program is coming along. So, yes, if you're interested in a program for children, I'm definitely willing to come and introduce your area, your community, to a program for your children also.
Okay.
And, again, thank you so much for that question, because the children are now coming out with diseases that adults used to have.
I know.
Because of this obesity, poor diet, and no exercise.
Number one being diabetes, of course, which is such a devastating disease.
Yes, yes. That was an excellent question. Don't want to forget about the children.
Right.
You know, children, they grow up to be obese. If they're obese in childhood, they generally grow up to be obese adults.
Right. Yeah, I think they used to say, and it may have had some validity, that children would grow out of obesity, or it wasn't even labeled obesity then, but if, you know, children were overweight when they were younger, if they grew, they would just more than likely grow out of it. And sometimes that was true, because they would be very active as they were growing. But children just
That's
are not active like that anymore. So they're going to have more structured activities and structured exercises.
Engaged. Turn off those video games for a while, you know. They're
That's
sitting
right.
on these video games.
I don't want to carry this on too long. There's another caller here that I want to call on.
Okay.
But I think sometimes we do have to look at the whole situation. And there's a couple parents I know who have expressed to me that they have fears about letting their children go out and play in the areas that they live in.
Okay.
So
that's understandable.
They don't feel comfortable. Right. It's understandable. And that is the reason why they try to occupy them indoors with video games and things like that will keep their attention, rather than typically letting them go out, ride their bikes, or, again, you know, play games like hide and go seek or whatever. But it's just, you know, these horror stories now of your child going out there, getting shot by a stray bullet, maybe. Shot by someone or assaulted by someone. And it's a shame, because a lot of times this type of fear immobilizes us to our detriment. And, you know, but to, you know, some degree it has validity. But then on the other hand, we do have to live. We can't be, we just can't box ourselves in like that, so that we're so afraid that we can't have and conduct ourselves in a normal way. But then again, you know, that's situation by situation, and people have to make a judgment call, you know, based on where they are in their own particular circumstances. But I just wanted to, you know, kind of put that in.
Absolutely. I would not advise anybody to go out if they don't feel safe, but there are many things they can do in the house as far as exercising. They can create games. You know, they can create family games. Like I said, turn on some music and dance. You know, have a challenge. How many push-ups can you do? So I would not recommend they go out if they don't feel safe. But go inside, come up with a program for your family, and have some fun with it.
Right, yeah.
Yes. You don't have to stop exercising.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be the last caller here. I think this is area code 267 again.
Okay.
Yes, sister, did you want to, Agina, is this you? Did you want to ask a question?
Oh, no, sorry, that was by mistake.
Oh, that was by mistake. Okay, then. All right, I wasn't sure. Okay.
Okay. So I hope everyone's listening. I hope that everyone is listening. They can just at least do 5 minutes of exercise when we get off of this telephone tonight.
Yes.
And walk around your house for 5 minutes, go up and down the steps. If you can't walk, sit in your chair and move your legs up and down.
Okay.
Take your arms and do jumping jack arms, something, and take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, and relax.
Okay. And get a good night's sleep.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Hanifa, again, thank you so much. And Allah continue to bless you in your efforts and in your work.
Thank you.
And we will look forward to having you on again in the future.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And I enjoy the callers also.
Okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Peace and blessings.